It's a Saturday afternoon, it's raining, and you pull up in your car. You come into his old barn of a house. You go down these creaky little stairs, and you walk into this room. It's amazing. There's a bar. There's this old barber chair that's awesome. And you sit there with women on the wall, with strange tchotchkes everywhere, as Jim pulls out the vinyl records, pours you a drink. And everywhere you look, there's a photo of some R&B cat staring back at you. Welcome to the record room of musician Jim Wood, lead singer of the Loaded Poets. My name is Marquis Stillwell with Devlin Picks. I recently paid Jim a visit to talk about the evolution of the recording industry and about the formative years of rock and roll. As the paradigm of the music industry shifts towards free, downloadable content, and label men search for a way to remain relevant and profitable, I wonder if we're onto something new, or if the industry is experiencing frustrations that have been echoed in the songs long since passed. Join us on our first series as Jim talks about how early blues and R&B began to reach white audiences through the radio and how musicians first found their way around censorship. You're going to hear things you may disagree with. You're going to hear things you didn't even know. We're going to talk about the blues and R&B music and how it turned into rock and roll.
Welcome to the story.
Give me your definition again of R&B.
Well, technically, it's a term that replaced the term race in the music charts, because even back then, the term race was derogatory.
So there was a chart.
Look, that's a record sleeve from probably from the 30s. Wow. Vocalion was a big race record label. That's what they call them, race records.
In the evening, mama, when the sun goes down.
So you're saying that race records and race charts, it was easy to go from that to R&B.
The term race was replaced with rhythm and blues. And rhythm and blues simply means adding rhythm to the blues. The blues was largely acoustic in its original forms.
Right.
You had the classic female blues singers of the 20s, the first one that broke through and started the whole blues craze. It was Crazy Blues.
What song can you think of that really went from this acoustics to really drop in some rhythm?
Well, it's post-war. It's the technology. It's the availability of the electric guitar. It's the availability of amplification.
Right.
Case in point, you hear all the harp players, the original Sonny Boy Williamson and his contemporaries, recorded on Bluebird in the 30s and through the 40s, and enter Little Walter, who was the first cat who was playing his harmonica through an amp.
Right.
And the difference is just, it's revolutionary, you know? And plus the way he played.
Right, that's what I was going to say. I mean,
It wasn't just the...
No.
It was like...
Yeah.
You know? He filled up the room with his sound. If society today could be transported back to 1949, Wynonie Harris would be singing more graphically. He wouldn't be couching things in metaphor. He couched things in metaphor because he had to for the records to sell. There was a lot of records that when they came out in their original form, when they were just being sung in clubs or whether they were like Drinking Wine, Spodeyote is drinking wine, motherfucker, drinking wine.
Wine, Spodeyote, drink wine.
That's the original lyric.
Right.
And then, we gotta sell this now. Right. We gotta put this on record. We don't wanna get arrested, because they could be arrested for pornographic charges, indecency, if they're gonna say drinking wine, motherfucker, drinking wine, on a record.
Okay.
You know, so that, drink wine is Spodeyote. What the fuck's Spodeyote? Well, whatever. That's why R&B is filled with a lot of little nonsense phrases, because they're covering up the curses.
But it's also turned into a way of having this counterculture that understands what you're saying.
Oh, absolutely.
And they've created it.
No, speaking in code.
Yeah, speaking in code in many ways is a part of the counterculture that has allowed them some form of freedom and protection from the larger.
Sure. W.C. Fields, in his films, he had his own code to cover up his curses. He said Godfrey Daniels instead of God damn it. He said mother of pearl instead of motherfucker.
Right.
You know, speaking in code because he had a product to sell. It's financial. Because out on the street, you're not going to speak in code.
Right.
The Blenders, one of the best R&B doo-wop groups of the early 50s, they recorded a song in the 50s amongst all their other for sale hits called Don't Fuck Around With Love.
Don't mess around with a hungry bear. Grab a tiger by the hand. Don't fuck around with love.
And it just remained in the vaults. It was released like underground in the 70s, I believe.
Right.
So code is when you want to sell something and you sit back and snicker because you're going to speak frankly on the street and then you hear your man Wynonie Harris speaking to you on a record in code. And like, right. I know what that means. Right, and no one else does.
Right,
and
right.
I'm laughing, you know,
right,
and,
right.
You know, we got one past the goalie here because these R&B labels were owned largely by white guys.
Keep on churning till the butter comes. Keep on churning till the butter comes. Keep on pumping, make the butter flow. Wipe off the paddle and churn some more. Little boy blue, come blow your horn. Cows in the meadow, sheep's in the corn.
So, you're adding rhythm to the blues and you have rhythm and blues, largely underground. There's a few hip Jewish people who are starting labels and they're selling black music to a black audience.
Right.
And then here are the airwaves, and the airwaves are free. So you've got these hip disc jockeys like Alan Freed who are playing this music and white people are tuning in.
Oh, now you remember, baby. Please don't hold me so tight. Remember me, baby. Please don't hold me so tight.
The music is being heard and it's spilling over into white ears,
right.
You know? Here's Alan Freed, he's doing his Moondog coronation balls and his concerts
right.
with all the black artists, and the white people are showing up, and even he's surprised.
Right.
Right? And then you've got what nobody anticipates. You've got rhythm and blues records crossing over onto the pop charts. Now the motherfuckers are smelling money. They're like, oh, this is the goal. The goal is to sell this music to the broader white audience
right.
and make more money. So, Crying in the Chapel by Sonny Till and the Orioles, one of the first records to cross over. You've got G by the Crows crossed over. And this, we're all talking about like 1953, 54.
You have a lot of those.
Absolutely, I have all of them. You've got Earth Angel by the Penguins crossed over.
Earth Angel, Earth Angel, will you be mine, my darling dear? Love you all the time.
So you look at these records and you're like, okay, so what do all these records have in common? Well, they're not talking about keep on churning till the butter comes.
Right.
That's one thing. They're all fairly innocuous.
Right.
And they're not abrasive. They are delivered in
They're safe. They're safe.
They're safe, but they're authentic. It's good jump, doo-wop, R&B, it's good stuff. It's not sellout shit.
Saw me crying in the chapel. The tears I shed were tears of joy.
Thanks for listening to our first series. Stay tuned for series 2 when Sam Phillips is struck with an idea that will change the music world forever.